Is there going to be a cake today? Is there?
Yeah.
Big one? Keanu Reeves going to pop out of it?
Whoa.
Would you eat any of it?
So.
The cake.
So.
Oh, I just got it.
So the. I do not fully. You guys are ridiculous.
You said it.
You didn't say anything,
didn't
actually.
Say anything. Ignored it. You ignored it.
Away there. I laid out. So the metaverse is going to happen. I don't exactly understand exactly why or how or what it's going to do, but I read this article where you can send your avatar, I guess, to the avatar of a psychiatrist. And your avatar can have a session with the psychiatrist avatar. Now, I assume this is the equivalent of going to a shrink, which I'm all for. But, like, is there metaverse health insurance? Is there a metaverse dentist? Is there, I mean, does this not sound crazy?
It's like a combination of, you know, like, remember Hologram Tupac? And like you go to Hologram Tupac concerts.
Yes.
This is like the equivalent of that mixed with, what was the name of the, they were a craze for a while, those toy pets that people would take care of.
Rock? Tamagotchi?
Tamagotchis.
Oh, is that on your phone?
No, it was a little device.
Oh, a little device and like you had to feed your Tamagotchi or else it would die.
It would die. It would literally die.
It would die?
Yeah.
This is the equivalent of Tamagotchis meeting Hologram Tupac the shrink.
Right.
Like essentially you're sending fake thing to fake event. It's the next step over from just going to the fake concert. You're sending your fake self to the fake concert. In this case, your fake self to the fake psychiatrist.
So I am a proponent of going to a, like I always think if somebody's going to a shrink or going to a psychologist, I'm like, yeah, good for you working it out. I guess this is just another way to do that, right?
I don't think there's anything wrong with this. It's like having a virtual session on your phone with your psychologist.
But like I just get on Zoom with my shrink.
It's the same thing though, but you're putting on a headset and
avatar shrink.
Sure, but you're still in charge of the avatar.
Are you there while the avatar is getting therapy or are you off doing something else?
No, you're there. You're having the conversation, right?
Yeah, I suppose there having the conversation with the pretend shrink.
Look,
who's not a pretend shrink but is a shrink who has an avatar.
I feel like people would be more comfortable in person with your shrink instead of being over Zoom, so this is just an easier way for you to stay home, them to stay home, and you can still be in the office setting without actually being in the office setting.
I'm not sure where this is going.
This was your conversation.
I'm not sure where it's all going. Not this is my conversation, but I'm not sure where this is all going. I see Facebook. Facebook's all about the metaverse, and I don't even know. I mean, my mom's on Facebook. She shares recipes. I can't imagine she's ever going to be in the
metaverse.
How
many places does she share recipes? Because she does it on TikTok. She does it on Facebook.
She reads recipes on TikTok.
Oh.
She posts recipes on Facebook.
Okay.
Look, this is the future that we were promised in WALL-E. Remember when that guy is just sitting in the room and everything's happening in front of him and he doesn't have to get up from his chair?
Right.
This is just the next extension of that. Like, we are eventually going to be living like 100-year-long sedentary lives where you experience everything from birth to death, but you never leave a room to make it happen. Or you barely ever leave your immediate surroundings because everything's getting done for you. And like, people now, we're training generations to just treat experience as seeing something as opposed to living it.
Yes.
Like there was a really interesting interview I saw with Keanu Reeves where, you know, he's been doing movies about this sort of AI stuff for years.
Yeah, he loves it. He's into it.
Right. But he's also fearful of it. And he said that he was talking to a young person and they were talking about the Matrix and like the idea of red pill versus blue pill, one being fake, one being real. And this person was talking about taking the blue pill, like, you know, wanting to live the quote unquote fake existence. And Keanu was like, well, that's fake. And the young person's response was, I don't care. Like, what difference does it make if it's fake?
See, I'm a red pill guy.
You're a red pill guy?
Oh, yeah.
You want
big
the real deal?
I want to see what's really going on.
You're a third eye open guy.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Are you a red pill guy or a blue pill guy?
I'd like to think of myself as a red pill guy, but in reality, I think I'm too lazy. I'm the blue pill guy.
Yeah, you're the blue pill guy. I'm the blue pill guy.
Right? Are you?
Well, if you go into the red pill, you're going into a world of dystopia where it's just madness and you're in. It's terrible. There's, you
but
know,
I
want to
do bullet time.
Machines.
Lay back in the
well, yeah, okay. That would be cool. But all you have to see is one instance of deja vu and everything goes to hell.
It's a lot of effort to be the red pill guy. Like, you never have a day off. You never have any
downtime.
But
don't you want to know what's really going on? Like, I want to know what's really going on behind the stuff that I see going on.
I look at Blue Pill World, and it already seems pretty bad. Like, I don't know how much
worse. Blue Pill World isn't that great.
Right.
Like, yeah. Not
like,
really.
It's not like we're all living in this just, you know, la-di-da paradise in Blue World. Like, Blue World increasingly seems worse. I don't know if I necessarily need to see the worst version of Blue Pill World.
The difference is you can kind of, in Blue Pill World, you can kind of let it go. You can get past it. In Red Pill World, it's there no matter what. You're just in terrible. Like,
what if I told
constantly.
You I already
Machines.
Took the red pill? I already
that
took the red pill.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
first chance I got.
I think you're thinking of a different pill.
Yeah, exactly. Jorge, you're total blue pill guy.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, all the way.
There are no pills blue enough for Jorge.
Yes. All right, so I wanted to get to this because this came off on Twitter yesterday from Jovan Buha, who's a really good writer. Who's he write for?
The Athletic.
The Athletic, yeah. They have good stuff over there.
They do.
So there is this Kyrie Lakers thing that bubbles around Ireland, Michael Thompson. They're like all in, you know, we want Kyrie.
Star effing driven
Star
town.
Star effing driven town, exactly. So I personally like what Rob Pelinka did at the trade deadline a lot.
Yep.
And I think it forms what will be a really good core moving forward. And to put this into some perspective, like, for D'Lo is a free agent, so he's a walkaway free agent that they will need to sign. Maybe that's $30 million. I don't know.
I think it'll be
less.
I think it'll be somewhere between 20 and 25.
Okay. If the Lakers were to pursue Kyrie Irving because of salary cap, they would need to renounce D'Angelo Russell.
Mm-hmm.
They would have to, and Rui Hachimura.
Yep.
They would have to decline Malik Beasley's team option, which I think is 16.
Yep.
And they would have to waive Jared Vanderbilt and Mo Bamba to create cap space.
Yeah, both those guys are owed guaranteed about $300,000, but their respective salaries, Vanderbilt's 4.5, Bamba's about 10.3. Most of those would get waived, free and clear.
So choosing Irving would essentially force the Lakers to punt on their trade deadline additions. What a disastrous mistake that would be.
It would feel like they've learned nothing
yep.
from what got them in the position where they eventually are right now, which I think Rob Pelinka did brilliant work at the deadline.
Fantastic work. Congratulations to Rob Pelinka.
But this was not easy at all. And unwinding mistakes like that can be really difficult. If you're going to be doing this with Kyrie, you're likely looking, because he's going to have to take a pay cut to do this, because the Lakers cannot give him a full max.
Right.
Like, even if they renounce everyone, they will not have the space for that.
Does anybody give Kyrie a max?
I don't know if they do or don't. Well, Dallas might have to. For everything they gave up to bring him in.
They may.
Like, unless it is just an utter disaster, they may have to do this. But I don't know how many other teams would, but depth matters, and also optionality matters. Like, if you retain most of these guys, let's say you re-sign reasonable deals, Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, Rui Hachimura, you keep Vanderbilt, who's a bargain, and
right.
Let's say you retain Malik Beasley, you let Mo Bamba walk. They've barely seen Mo. That could make sense.
And by the way, you also got to re-sign, or you got to sign Austin Reeves.
Right. That's less
like
complicated.
$51 million or something like that is the projected.
That's the max the Lakers can offer. They can match a higher offer. Like, if somebody else, because Austin Reeves is restricted, the Lakers, the most they can sign him outright on their own is, I think, 4 and 50, something like that.
Right.
But if he gets an offer that's like 4 and 65, the Lakers can match it.
They should.
Well, I mean, he's playing in a way right now where, can you imagine the optics of the way he's playing? If they let Austin Reeves walk over money after letting Alex Caruso walk over money. Like, both undrafted, free, legit NBA players, like their own guys. In the case of Austin Reeves, truly their own discovery. Like, the optics on that would be awful.
Reeves is the best undrafted free agent in Lakers history.
Look, Alex Caruso.
What we're looking at right now, what we looked at last night, what we looked at the last few games, I mean, Austin Reeves is the real deal.
Yeah, I mean, Alex Caruso is an elite defender, and he might be better at that one skill than any other one skill Reeves has. Reeves is a better overall player than Caruso.
Yeah.
Like, Reeves is better at more things, and on both sides of the ball, he's more aggressive as a scorer. He's a better playmaker.
Gets to the line, man. Yeah. He attacks the basket. He kind of flings himself up into the air, somehow figures out how to get a shot near the backboard, and winds up drawing fouls. I mean, there's a number floating around here. Bergman, do you have that number, the free throw number on Austin Reeves?
It was 53. I did. I got to find it.
Yeah,
now
I also
again.
Did. I also did have it. Trust us, it's really impressive.
It is very
it is really impressive. Super impressive.
Austin Reeves, here it is. I found it. I just have to open up this link right now. And
yep, and there it is.
Oh,
and
I see it. It's floating right
it's
here.
It's unbelievably
it's all,
impressive.
It's really thing. Good from it's chat.
Take the red pill and see it,
Bergman.
I got it. All right, Austin. Well run.
Yes.
Austin Reeves has attempted 53 free throws in his last four games, the most over a four-game span by a Lakers player since Anthony Davis in October of 2019. It's the most over a four-game span by a Lakers guard since Kobe Bryant in April 2013.
Yeah. He is in attack mode all the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he is good, like legitimately good at drawing fouls. Like, this isn't all just grifting. He's not doing like the Trey Harden jut your butt out to
No.
Like, he's legitimately, I mean, all drawing fouls is some degree of trickery. Like, that's
and
part of the
game. And there's a little trickery.
Of course
there is. But it's attacking and right. It's flinging and it's...
Right. His foul drawing is much more dignified than like Trey Young or yeah. James Harden
yes.
or some of these other guys.
He's
and
technically not flopping the way those guys
no,
do.
No,
he's doing the opposite of flop. He's actually moving forward. He's not flopping back.
No, I mean, look, nobody in this league risks their face more than Austin Reeves. Like, frankly, I'm concerned this guy's playing with a concussion. He's always getting hit in the face multiple times a game, and he ain't flopping on those. Like, he's not selling that contact. Like, he's getting really hit.
Yeah, he was great last night. And not to be lying, I mean, Bergman and I were, you know, all over Anthony Davis after the last few games and sitting out Houston, screwing up Dallas and having rather pedestrian numbers against
rightfully so.
Orlando, and rightfully so. He was great last night.
Yeah.
He attacked. He got to the line.
Third quarter in particular,
he was aggressive.
He took over.
Yeah, third quarter, he was fantastic.
It was a good game for D'Angelo Russell, too. And this is in part, too, why I think Reeves being in the starting lineup matters. Like, you're adding another playmaker. You're allowing another guy that can set up AD. D'Lo can actually play off ball now.
Yep.
Where, like, before, he pretty much always had to be running everything. And that's not the best use of D'Angelo Russell. Like, in a lot of ways, Austin Reeves isn't taking Malik Beasley's spot. He's actually taking LeBron's spot. He's actually doing the stuff that you would want from LeBron. Obviously not at a level LeBron can
no,
do it.
No.
But more so than Malik Beasley can do it.
No question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why Austin Reeves in the starting lineup made so much sense last night, and I would imagine we're going to see more of that.
Yeah, I mean, at least till LeBron gets back.
And the LeBron thing is weird today because Wode said maybe the last three games, and then McManaman said targeted three games, and then LeBron came out and said, guys, thanks, God bless your sources, but I'm in control of my own. It's like, just, it was not necessary.
Well, there was nothing really to refute. Like, they said the Lakers hope that he can be back for the next few games. Like, I can tell you that with no sourcing.
Yes, we don't need a source for that.
They hope LeBron's going to be back. Of course
yes,
they do.
Yes.
I can tell you that.
Exactly. Blue Pill Jorge can tell you that.
all right. Coming up next for you. You know, a girl I follow on Instagram, and you guys all follow people like this, woman on Instagram, and I just don't know how they do it. I'll explain what I mean coming up next. Plus, with UCLA playing Gonzaga tonight, it is high time we hear a tribute to the great Jaime Jaquez. We will do that coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. I don't know why You told me to tease the other stuff when we've got the great Anita Marks standing by.
You know, I wanted it to be a surprise for you that just she was going to come here and she's going to tell you everything you need to know about the tournament and golf coming up.
Is she there?
Almost.
Almost.
She's
almost
actually here. On. We're just trying to get it mixed.
Anita's almost here. She's arriving
I'm
momentarily.
Here.
Oh, hey, Anita, how are you?
Hi. I'm great. I mean, I'm still alive in my bracket. Are you?
I've got Xavier and Creighton. I had them from the start.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Look at you. Okay. What about UCLA? How far do you have your Bruins going?
I got them losing tonight, but Bergman is all over him. He's a Bruin. He's got him all. He's all over him for tonight. What's the line on the Bruins game tonight?
What is the line right now? Because it's all over the place. And hold on 1 second. Let me call it up because it moves. I want to give you the right line. So right now they're favored by one. The over under is 145.5. And I'll tell you what my play here is. I'm staying away from a side, even though I do lean towards Gonzaga. But for me, I like the over here tonight. Listen, both of these teams played their conference tournaments in Las Vegas. They're very comfortable with this court. At some point in time, Clark and him being, you know, not as I like to call it, active and attractive. I think their defense is going to have to really take a hit. Maybe this is the game against the Zags. Watson has been absolutely terrific, and the Zags 75th ranked defense efficiency. So I think the play here, believe it or not, is the over at 145.5. I'm zigging where everybody zags. I know that. No pun intended.
Yeah, yeah. All right. By the way, you're on tonight, right?
I am on tonight.
7-10, bet LA.
I know you're my biggest fan.
I got to put it on my iCal so I can remember that you're on tonight. Putting it
it's going to be It's going to be interesting. It's going to be hard because I'm going to be hosting while the games are going on.
I know. Right.
But you might not be aware of this. Like, women are better multitaskers. Is that even a word? Than men. Are you aware of that? Did you know that women multitask better than men? So
I don't know if I'd buy that. Is that like in Vegas? Is that at a book somewhere? Men don't multitask as well as women?
So Mars, Venus chapter?
Exactly. I think that's where not that I've ever read that book before, but I think that's where it stemmed from for sure.
So what else do you like that? It's a fun time. There's a lot going on. We've got Sweet 16 games tonight. We talked about UCLA Gonzaga. Where else are you putting your money tonight?
All right, let's run through it. So tonight, tips off at the Garden, baby. Izzo in New York City. Are you kidding me? And one of his best players, Ty Walker, he said, "Coach, just get me to the Garden. It's my dream." I think Ty Walker goes off. I know a lot of people love Kansas State, and I love Kansas State. Okay? But now this line has flipped. Michigan State was getting two. Now they're favored by one for a reason. Izzo at the Garden. It's going to feel like a home game for those Spartans. So I do like Michigan State, and I'll lay the points. Arkansas going up against UConn. Tip-off is at 7:15. I love UConn. I've got UConn coming out of that region of death. Unfortunately, I'm sure UCLA fans don't want to hear that. But this squad is so good. Top 20 in offense and defensive efficiency. Their defense is great against the three. Also, they're really good in transition defense. And the way that Arkansas scores points is on fast break opportunities. So I'll lay the 3.5 with UConn. FAU going up against Tennessee. Tennessee is so damn good. I love FAU. I love their storyline. I'm from Miami. You know, they reside, these owls reside in the mouth of the rat. How do you not want to root for them? But I just think Tennessee is just, I think they're just too good here. You've got four seniors. They came back. They've got the best defense still alive in the tournament. And then last but not least, again, we talked about Gonzaga going against UCLA. Slight lean towards Gonzaga getting the points. But again, I think the play here is the over at 145.5. I think Gonzaga is going to find a way to score some points. And I think we're going to see Timmy get to the free throw line quite frequently later on tonight against UCLA.
Hey, Anita, sort of an overarching question about the tournament. We've talked before here on this show about how, from our perspective, college basketball doesn't seem to have the same cachet in the tournament as it did maybe 10 years ago, certainly 20 years ago, going back. From what you've seen, is the money still coming in on the betting with this? Is it as strong as ever?
Oh, God, yes. Even more so, because more and more states are legalizing gambling. Hello, LA. Wake up, stop being 2000 and late. And it's legal now, right? Like before, a lot of people, like, you know, we all had bookies. I had bookie, you know, bookie was at my golf course, you know? So, you know, so now it's legal, you know? And it's more front and center. Like, you know, I'm going to be on Daily Wager tonight in about 12 minutes.
Right.
I've got my Daily Wager hit to talk about, you know, my picks and plays. So, you know, and we're seeing it. I don't know if you guys are watching the XFL, but it's part of the conversation now. It's part of the conversation because it's legalized. So yeah, absolutely. And I'll say this. I love this year's tournament. I love the fact that we're not going chalk out of all four regions, right? And we're questioning whether or not Houston gets there. You know, a lot of people are anticipating, you know, Texas to take them out. We might not have one. I like Creighton upsetting Alabama. We might not have one in the Final Four. And to me, when you've got parity in any sport, that's your secret sauce.
So you said it at the beginning, is your Final Four still alive? Like, I don't know how many brackets you do, but your main bracket, is your Final Four still alive?
How long have we known each other? How many, over under, how many brackets do you think I have?
25.
Okay. Hey, that's fair. I'm at 20. I'm playing,
20? 20
I'm playing,
brackets?
I'm playing... Well, I'm playing in five pools, and each pool allows a total of four. You know, you're not allowed more than four brackets. So anyway, to answer your question, I've got Tennessee coming out, and they've got a really, really easy ride now, in my opinion, to get there. And then I'm 50-50 with Creighton and Alabama. I really love this Creighton team. I've even put some money down on Creighton to win this whole damn thing. I've got Houston coming out. Houston's my only number one that's representing. And then I'm 50-50 between Gonzaga and UConn. But what I've seen from UConn has just been absolutely spectacular. I've also put on some money on them to pull the upset and possibly win this whole damn thing as well.
So in fairness, I did one bracket. It's broke. You did 20. Wasn't one of them bound to be close?
Yeah, listen, I'm alive and thriving in all of my pools. I have a really good shot of winning them all. And if I do, I'm happy to send you a case of wine.
Wow, that's crazy. That's throwing down the gun. So we've got some following here. Alan Sliwa is our midday guy, Travis and Sliwa show, and he's a San Diego State alum. What does San Diego State look like against Alabama tomorrow?
Yeah, listen, I love San Diego State's defense. You know, Tennessee has the best defense still alive in this tournament, but I'd say San Diego State, second best defense, especially against the three-point shot. They're holding their opponents to 29% from behind the arc, and that's the bread and butter for Alabama. That's the majority of how they have found success is from downtown. So I think San Diego State can match up really well against Alabama. I think Alabama wins, but I do like San Diego State covering. So give me the 7.5.
Is there a good sleeper bet out there you like?
Sleeper bet. You know, I'm on Texas laying the points against Xavier. I do like the Miami Hurricanes covering against Houston. I think Houston wins, but I love Miami's guard play. And if they continue to shoot as well as they have, I faded them coming into the tournament. Full disclosure, I had Drake beating them in the round of 64. They came in my opinion, they lost to Duke in the ACC championship game. I faded them, but boy, have they turned it around for me. So I do like Miami getting the points against Houston. Like I said, I like San Diego State getting the points against Alabama. But I'm to say I've got a sleeper at this point. I don't, listen, I'm going to be rooting for FAU. What a great storyline. And these guys have a lot of heart, and there's going to be a lot. That's going to be a feisty game tonight, especially Tennessee. Did you guys watch that Tennessee Duke game?
Yeah.
That was more like a men's lacrosse game than a basketball game. All the bumping and grinding that was taking place in the paint. This FAU-Tennessee game is going to be real feisty. It's going to be physical. This FAU, these guys, they don't back down to anyone. It's going to be good. I still think Tennessee pulls it out at the end.
Now, I get a note about stuff that we're going to talk about. Do you bet a lot on golf?
It is my favorite sport to bet on. And by the way, did you know that I'll be hosting a golf show here on 710 ESPN LA, starting the Sunday before the Masters, called On the Tee with Anita Marks?
Oh. Wow. Now, that's not just a gambling show, is it?
No, it is not just a gambling show, but a lot of gambling will be discussed.
Because you're a great golfer.
Well, thank you. We haven't played yet, but I appreciate that. Yes, I teeter around anywhere between a 12 or a 10 handicap.
That's very good.
That is good.
Very good.
So it's solid. It's solid. But I'm really excited. I've hosted a golf show here in New York for the last 5 years. So really, really excited to launch now in LA. It'll be 7 to 8 a.m. We start, I want to say April 2nd, that Sunday prior to the Masters. So we're going to get everybody locked and loaded, ready for the Masters. Rory trying to complete the Grand Slam. I do like Colin Morikawa to make some noise. I think he'll be in it at the end. Right now, I'm leaning towards Tony Finau to win at 22-1. Right now, that's where I'm leaning in regard to the Masters. And those are some really, really good odds. If he wins this match play event, the Dell Technology match play that's taking place right now, those odds might fall. So I would jump on those right now.
All right. Awesome. Well, tonight it is Bet LA, 7 o'clock. You can watch it along with UCLA versus Gonzaga, same time. Will you do some pseudo play-by-play?
As long as I can, right? Like, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to get the station in trouble.
You can get away with it for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, just bring it.
You know better than I.
Yeah, yeah. No, pseudo. That's why we call it pseudo play-by-play. You can get away with some. Hey, Anita, thank you very much, as always, for coming on.
You got it. Good luck, everybody.
All right. There is Anita Marks with lots of different gambling. I don't know how she knows so much stuff.
She's a machine.
Tony Finau, 22-1 at the Masters.
Bet against LA. Bet against UCLA.
Right, she bet against UCLA.
She
bets against LA every chance she gets.
It's kind of amazing. Always against the Rams, but I mean, that was right all the time.
This year
it was absolutely right.
And next year.
Lakers, she bets against the Lakers every time.
Yep.
Kind of right a lot of times, too. That's how Jorge made all his money.
That's exactly how I made my money.
Now, I'm not feeling too good about that UCLA thing anymore. I was feeling better when she bet against them.
And I mean, I would never have thought betting on golf, but apparently you bet on golf now too?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can bet on anything now.
Wrestling?
Like, it's...
wrestling.
For real.
He's
not joking. There's actually now... I was reading...
Professional wrestling?
WWE wants to get in... If they're not already in, they want to get into the world of betting, which feels like major possibilities for shenanigans, considering
inside information,
yes,
sources. I mean, yes, all that kind of stuff.
I read today's script. I'm going to Vegas. Like, I mean, seriously, like the idea of betting on that.
Yeah, it's crazy. But they're betting on everything. All right, coming up next for you, Bill Walton, his very special tribute to Jaime Jaquez and Instagram influencers. I have no idea how they do it. That's coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Thank you very much for all the birthday wishes. Very nice of everybody. I was just thanking everybody. All-purpose thank you. TY. Heart emoji.
They're going to see, man. They're going to compare notes.
Thumbs up.
You're going to get busted.
Much appreciated.
They're going to note.
Thanks so much. Some of the things that I've responded with.
Don't it's get very too, nice. Don't get too careless. Like a back at you.
Right back at you. So let's see. Okay, so I follow several people. There's one in particular that sticks out in my mind, and there are pictures of her all the time on Instagram, and I mean, like Bergman, we were just talking about, like 20 posts a day. Somebody's taking her picture, and all I can think
20
is
stories along with the posts.
Has she hired somebody to follow her around and take pictures? How do you get that many pictures of yourself in one day?
You're very focused. I don't think that it's somebody doing it for her. I think it's actually just them doing it because they're so used to it, and it's just a part of.
But like,
you just got it down.
Some of them are like posed pictures. I'm like, no, there has to be.
I see people.
That's a good point. I don't know.
I see people on my street setting up selfies with like a phone on a stand all the time. Like I see people setting up their selfies, you know, that are eventually going to end up on whatever social.
Yeah.
But it's not like a holding the phone selfie. Like they're actually putting it on a stand. They're adjusting it, things like that. So she's probably doing that.
So when I saw some documentary about social media Instagrammers, and one of the things they do is whenever you see somebody on a plane, you can duplicate the look of a plane with a toilet seat. You take your picture, you know, you get a toilet seat, what? And you put yourself in the frame, and it looks like you're in an airplane.
You've done this before.
Looking out the window. No, I'm saying, I saw a documentary about this. You can do it with a toilet seat, make it look like on my flight to Bali. And then you get a toilet seat, and you get your picture taken with your head sort of in the toilets. Can you not picture what I'm saying?
No, not at
I
all.
Can't.
No,
I
you
understand.
Can? Can
you picture
it? It's like the equivalent of using a green screen to create the appearance of being on a plane.
But I don't understand concept. How you see the window. Like, where is it just, I don't even understand what the toilet seat does.
Yeah, the toilet seat looks, a toilet seat looks like a plane window.
With the drawn shit?
No, take picture, the lid off of it.
Yeah, picture.
So just the round thing where you sit?
Right. Correct.
Picture it inverted. Picture it inverted.
Now hold it like this.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you put your face in front of it, and all of a sudden you're on a flight to Bali, even though you're going nowhere near Bali.
I really don't think most people realize how much stuff they see on social media.
Did you
cut
me up this morning?
No, I'm telling you, this is for real. I'm trying to find a toilet seat picture, plane.
So many people react and like really
tweet it out, please,
upset, animated, whatever, over stuff they see on social media that's totally fake. Like, I don't think people really realize how many videos they see, you know, these like candid videos or this thing that just happened. It's staged.
It's completely staged.
Like most of what you see on social media.
I found it. Okay. So okay. This is perfect. This is exactly what I'm talking about. I will text it to you right now. Believe me, this woman is not on a plane. She is sitting in front of a toilet seat.
Oh, so you have to have like a picture of a plane behind it. That's so weird.
Correct. Now, did you Google it?
Yeah,
see
I Googled
what I'm
it. Yeah, people are using toilet seats to pull off the fake plane.
Right, and I'm on my way to Bali. It's like it's all everything on Instagram is now completely manufactured. You can't believe anything you see.
Okay, every time you see, it's usually some white woman like making the most bland
Let's
version.
Not stereotype.
Well, no. People will understand.
It is women of all.
No, in this particular case, it is white women. Like, whenever you see them making the blandest, most disgusting version of some food, and people freak out, and they're like, call the FBI. Like, they're doing this to get a reaction. They know that this food they're creating is terrible, and you're going to freak out that the Karen is making this bastardized version of this awesome food. It's fake.
Do you see what I'm talking about?
Oh,
the toilet seat. Exactly right there. They use the toilet seat to make it look like they're on a plane, and they're not really on a plane on their dream trip to Bali.
So honestly. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
This is extremely innovative.
I think
this is amazing.
Congratulations to those people that have figured this out, but you don't have to be on a plane to take a picture to make it look like you're on a plane.
Do
you see what I'm talking about?
I know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
but it's
crazy.
All about people wanting to present their life as something that it isn't.
But what's the point? Why do you
They
do
want
this?
People to be jealous that you're going to Bali.
Right, but I understand, but like, what does that actually get you? Like, you're not actually going to Bali.
It gets you jealousy.
I don't understand. I mean, I understand, but I don't understand. It gives you clout.
In your mind, you're getting clout. Yeah.
Because then you get like
stories of like,
then
oh,
you get like free
Bali.
Clothes and free makeup and stuff like that. They send it to you because people look at you on a plane on your dream trip to Bali that's really a toilet seat. And they and then you have a bunch of likes and then the company will give you stuff for free.
So yes. I know a person that travels a lot.
Yeah.
And then she'll post pictures from the window and whatnot, but she won't show what airline it is because sometimes she flies the cheapest one. But okay. She won't show what airline because she's right. Like, oh, okay. I'm like, she wants to make it seem like she's balling, but, you know, she's buying
she's,
the cheapest
she's
flight.
She's not a baller. She's not. On Spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she's
but
on Spirit.
But she won't show that.
Yeah.
She'll show the window.
My brother's flying Spirit. My brother's here for the Pickleball Madness tournament this last week, and I put him on Spirit, and he ended up with an 8-hour layover in Atlanta. An 8-hour layover in Atlanta. They changed the flights on him.
It was like flying on a toilet seat.
It basically was.
But didn't he go to Ohio?
Yeah, he went Ohio to Atlanta, 8-hour layover to Los Angeles.
And then on the way back, he went back to Atlanta?
Went straight to Detroit. Got lucky and straight to Detroit.
So Detroit, then to Ohio.
Yes, correct.
That's the craziest circle I've ever
heard.
Yeah,
8-hour layover in Atlanta.
Why did you put him on
God
Spirit?
Bless him. Because I'm it's not like I made a money over here.
I mean, but Spirit of all things?
Yeah, Spirit. All right. Nothing wrong with Spirit Airlines.
Could have gone for
no,
Deer.
Nothing whatsoever.
Hey, I'll do an endorsement, Justin Schafflander.
Hold on to this.
There you go. Free flights on Spirit from
exactly.
Steve Mason.
Someone just hit us up on Twitter in the Mason Ireland Mafia.
Yep.
Influencers always making terrible looking Mexican food. Like, this is exactly what I'm talking about. They're doing it to provoke a reaction because this food is so awful looking.
Hey, we said no stereotyping.
Somebody, a Trey G, put in a detergent bottle and put a picture through the detergent bottle
really?
To make it look like it also.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no, you can't believe anything on Instagram anymore. As if you ever could.
Okay. I was thinking about something different when you mentioned, like, you know, the woman taking photos and stuff like that. There's a Facebook friend that I have.
Yep.
Who, and I'm not going to say her name, although she probably would like me to because of the account that I'm about to mention. She has an OnlyFans account, which, fine. Like, I have no issue with her having an OnlyFans. You should do whatever you want. It is, however, though, linked to her Facebook account.
Yeah.
And that makes for really weird Facebook content.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You linked your Facebook?
She has,
I mean,
she has
keep
basically,
that separate.
She has everything linked together.
Yeah, so, Facebook and Instagram are the same company.
Right, no, this
Facebook
is OnlyFans.
Instagram.
No,
oh,
this
she
is
has
only
her
thing.
OnlyFans
her
only on Facebook?
She has.
Linked.
It seems like her OnlyFans, her TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook are all together. And Facebook is not where you go to find the OnlyFans content.
Wow. Yeah, that's not a good link.
Again, I have no issue with her doing the OnlyFans at all, but it's been jarring, some of these posts.
I'm sure they have. Anyways, just remember the next time you see somebody on Instagram and you see them on a plane on their dream trip to Bali, they're actually sitting with a toilet seat. All right, coming up next for you, you got some What's Up, Fool?
I do have What's Up, Fool.
We will do it next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thanks a lot, Chris. All right, so Codify is a great baseball Twitter follow.
Yes.
And they posted this morning that MLB has told teams that they will be evaluating the performances of bat boys and bat girls and may ask teams to get rid of them if they consider their performance to be substandard. Have we really gotten to the point that bat boys and bat girls
like
are being scrutinized?
I'd like to say the bat boy union is going to have something to say about this.
What are we doing?
There's going to be a strike coming.
I was a bat boy.
Were you?
Yeah. When I was like 11 years old.
Oh, wow.
For the Toledo Mud Hens. All roads lead to the
they
Toledo
really
Mud
do
Hens.
For you.
They really, it was a huge part of my life. And it's harder than it looks. It's about timing, and you've got to know when to go get the bat, and you got to know when to bring the bag of balls out, and you got to do all that.
I mean, somebody tells you, like, hey, go get that bat out there, and you
no, it's instinctual. It's instinctual. Like, okay. Like if you're a born bat boy, it's instinctual. You know when to bring the bag of balls to the umpire.
Did you just say born bat boy?
If you're a born bat boy, yes. Some people are born bat boy. You know who was a great bat boy? Steve Garvey, great bat boy, was a bat boy in Vero Beach for the Los Angeles Dodgers when they were in Vero Beach with Jackie Robinson. He was a bat boy when Jackie Robinson was in camp. But again, Steve Garvey, great instinctual bat boy.
Ended up a major leaguer. I think he did okay for
himself. He did do okay.
Were you a born bat boy?
I was a born bat boy, yes. My timing was impeccable. Although one time, I was running out to get a bat. Jose Molina was charging out to back up first base. It was Molina.
One of the flying Molinas?
It was maybe their father. It was somebody
Benji
named Molina.
Jose. I was going to say, it had to be
No, I mean, I was 11, so it had to be their grandfather. But I got absolutely clocked. He was running to first base to cover first base, and I was going to get a bat, and bam.
Wait, you just said that you were a born bat boy, and now you're explaining how you ran into a Molina?
What an accident. One accident. You can always expect one accident from me.
Well, if we're in now,
Steve
now
Garvey
time,
would never.
Exactly. And also, MLB would fire you now if you
one
do that.
Time, Bergman, and this was fun, we had a bat boy during Dodger season that would call us after games and give us a report on the game.
That's
it
actually
was
kind of funny.
Fantastic. It was fantastic.
Well, you get cool stories, I would think.
Yeah, he had really cool stories.
Like employed. They're not just kids. They used to just be kids that would go and be
well,
the
Well, how
bat
old
boys.
Are bat boys now?
Now they're adults.
Are they?
I believe so.
They're bat men.
It was great because I played a lot of Pepper. That was back when Pepper was allowed. I don't even think they allow Pepper anymore.
Yeah, it's very serious now, and you have to be really good at it. That's why I think this is happening. Like, you can lose your job. It's a job. It is not just a bat boy that just gets to hang out like in the natural and bring you a bat.
I don't. They shouldn't be doing this because there's going to be a big bat boy strike.
I mean, like, if you fire your bat boy, how do you immediately find somebody who's up to speed? Like, what are you going to do in the meantime till your bat boy's ready?
Someone's got to be ready from the back.
Well, you have an understudy? Like a standby?
Backup bat boy.
Yeah. No, then you call up a AAA bat boy.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, right from Rancho Cucamonga. Come on down.
Rancho Cucamonga.
Do you have to manage their service time as well?
He made the jump.
Nothing after July 1st.
Yeah.
What's up, Foo?
All right, so this is a little shout out for my brother, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's up,
as
Foo?
He was named number 2 in the top 10 business pioneers driving innovation and change in their innovation, according to LA Weekly.
Wow.
It's a magazine. Yeah, which is very cool. So I'm very proud of him. You guys have been in numerous articles. I wrote this when Ireland was here, so sorry, Andy. But you guys have been in numerous...
I mean, I've been mentioned in an article, but go ahead.
He has been
I'm just kidding. Yeah. That was a joke. You guys have been mentioned in numerous articles and in other publications, but what was your favorite place to be showcased?
My favorite place to be showcased was on the cover of... God, what's that? It's now defunct. It was like... West Siders magazine, and there was a picture of me on the cover, and I thought I was the coolest guy in the world. It was pretty recent too. It was just before the pandemic. It was like 2019, and Jeff Bezos's sister was also there, but she did not get the cover. I got the cover.
Wow.
And I've got that framed cover sitting as you
in
can
the wall,
imagine
right
on the wall in my living room.
Next to the Mandy's?
Next to all my Mandy's. Exactly right.
That is exciting.
Did you ever get showcased somewhere, Andy?
You know what? Back in the day when I used to do improv with a troupe, there was a review that was in Backstage. Remember, it was Backstage West?
Backstage West, sure.
And the reviewer, my character wore a tank top. The reviewer said that I knew how to fill out a tank top.
Oh, wow.
The reviewer said I was built.
Wow.
So that was my favorite of all of them.
That's impressive.
Oh, wow. Weren't you in the ESPN, the magazine?
The body issue? Yes.
No. But didn't you actually write for ESPN?
I did write for ESPN, but I wasn't writing about me. Well, actually, that's not true.
It doesn't
not
have
true.
To be about you. I mean, I guess it does have to be about you.
The question was framed.
Yes, you're right.
Although Brian and I actually, this was fun years ago because we're both NFL orphans, or were for a while because, you know, we grew up on the St. Louis Cardinals. They left St. Louis. We did a thing where different teams around the league, we went to their training camps and they would pitch us on becoming their fans.
Mm.
So I guess that was an article we wrote about ourselves.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
I cannot find this article any longer, but maybe somebody can.
I'm sure someone can. What's it called? West Sider Magazine?
Oh, well, no, I've got that one. I've got that one framed in my living. But 1998, Bob Costas, right in that vicinity, retired from Later, or stopped doing the Later show. Mm-hmm. And David Bianculli from the New York Daily News put out the three best candidates for the job.
Ooh.
It was Chris Rock, Greg Kinnear, and me.
Wow.
I was like, damn. If anybody can find that article, I mean, seriously, I would love to have that.
You must have been the dark horse betting.
I was the dark horse. And, of course, Greg Kinnear got the job.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. I got to audition, but that was it.
Well, I'm sure it's because you had been around Snyder and stuff like that.
It's because I was working with Snyder exactly at that time. Yeah, that's why I got referenced. But, yeah, if anybody can find that, New York Daily News, 1998, Chris Rock, Greg Kinnear, and me. That's probably like me at the as the peak of my powers was right there.
You'd have to get like a Lexus Nexus.
You really would. You really would.
What's up, foo?
Hey, what's up, foo? Okay, so the Mets announced today that they are working on a ticket plan that will allow college students to attend attend games at an affordable rate. The goal is to really go after a group that has been priced out of Major League Baseball consistently. So there will be price in around $15.
Wow.
What do you guys think about this plan?
It's a great plan. You know, I think that all sports should find ways to be more affordable, or at least to carve out a portion of seats that are affordable for college students, for high school kids, young. Like, for example, if you go to Broadway, there are always rush seats. So if you're a college student and you want to see the show, they always hold back, you know, three rows of seats for really affordable prices. But, yeah, baseball's still the most affordable but has gotten expensive. Yeah, I mean, I think it's really smart if you're trying to appeal to a younger demo, and all sports are, this is one way to do it.
It's the equivalent of the student section at a college game.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a great idea, especially, too, like if you're talking about the day games,
mm-hmm.
There are going to be more college kids with the ability to drop whatever and go to a day game than an adult with a job.
Right, right.
So this could be a good way in and of itself to bring them in.
Yeah, by the way, if we go to a game, if they had that at Dodger Stadium, if we went to a game this year.
Local game.
Me, a local game. Me, Bergman, and Jorge would sit in even worse seats than we normally do.
By the bowl.
We went one night and you couldn't see the scoreboard. We were on the opposite side of the field. But no, we fixed that.
That's like, have you ever been at a concert where it turned out your seats were essentially like behind the stage?
Totally did, but it was a great experience because it was a Mumford & Sons concert at the Forum, and I was slightly behind the stage. Momo was there, but Marcus Mumford is a drummer, so you got to see him. You had a great view of him drumming. You didn't get the big screens, but you got him drumming, which is actually really cool.
That would be cool, but the worst is sometimes, and maybe this doesn't happen as much anymore, but you could end up not just behind the stage, but essentially behind like a screen behind the stage, where you're basically just hearing the show, and that's it. Like, your visibility is just cut off.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Well, don't you ask for a refund at that point? If you can't see the act and you can't see the picture, why would you go?
Caveat emptor.
Yeah, exactly.
What's up, foo?
All right, so I had a meeting yesterday morning with one of our great sponsors, Riverside Sheriff, and Deputy Kennedy. While we were talking, he offered me to go on a ride-along with him, which was very cool. So it sounds like a
you
ton of fun.
You already did it?
No, I haven't done it.
Okay.
I want to do it. It sounds like so much fun. Have you ever been on a ride-along? And if not, would you go on one?
I would love to go on a ride-along. That would be really, really cool. But it would be like, I'd like to go on a ride-along like in the middle of the night. When there's crazy stuff going down, not like afternoon and you were going 65 and a 55, that's not the ride. I want to be on the ride along that's in the thick of it, you know what I'm saying? And I think, by the way, if you do one of those, like I think I should get to carry a billy club. I would like to just have a billy club in the event I need it if we're in the middle of the night and doing a ride along. Do you think that the Riverside Sheriff Department would allow me a billy club?
Yeah, probably not. Andy?
I've almost come close to getting a ride along, but it wasn't my choice.
There you go.
Didn't ask for it. It'd be interesting to see. It would be really interesting because everybody has like strong opinions of the police and how they work, you know, and it would be interesting just to see like what is an actual day of a cop like? Like just to like see what they go through, no matter what you end up.
Got to be one of the toughest jobs there is.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be really interesting just to see how that goes down, how they deal with the stresses of it. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
I still say billy club and I'm in.
What about you, Jorge? Would you go on it?
I've been on it. My mom ended up picking me up.
So it was pretty cool. It was like they said that you can either go on a 4-hour ride, an 8-hour ride, or a 12-hour ride. It's truly up to you how long you want to go
for. How long is a... Do police officers sometimes have a 12-hour shift?
Yeah.
12-hour shift,
wow.
Yeah.
That is a hard job.
Yeah, a couple of my buddies are police officers.
Yeah?
Yeah, El Monte PD. That's where they're servicing.
12-hour shifts, yeah. Man. That is tough.
Yeah, and he said, it seemed like it would be just a really fun time. I don't know. And a lot of stuff happens constantly. So you're not always just riding around, even if it's not the middle of the night.
Be good for the gram.
What they also
live tweeting from the ride along.
What's up, Foo?
All right, that'll do it.
That'll do it. All right. So tonight the UCLA Bruins are taking on Gonzaga. Of course, Jorge is betting against them. Anita Marks picked against them. I say they win, Bergman.
Ooh. Hey, I love
I
that.
I say they win. And I think it is time, since I've teased it three times, that we allow our friend Bill Walton to do a tribute to the great Jaime Jaquez. We will do that next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.